Let's have a little word of prayer. Heavenly Father, now as we come to open thy word, we'd ask thee to bless us. We thank thee for it. We are so privileged to have it. We thank thee that we have come under those that know about it and been instructed and we've learned from it. But now as we come this evening to look into our subject, we would ask thee to bless us. Take complete control through thy Holy Spirit. Guard thy servant in what he would say, and be with us all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask it. Amen. Our subject tonight is Christ, God's compassionate servant. Christ, God's compassionate servant, and the emphasis is on compassionate. By compassionate, our dictionary and Vines tell us it means pity, it means sympathy, it means understanding, and it means being merciful. All that for a compassion. Read in a newspaper an article in the inner pages about the breakdown of society, and one of the complaints was that we are not a compassionate society. We just don't care about other people. We're all right, and we're warm, never mind about those that are cold. Now, whether that is true or not depends, I guess, on our outlook and the situation we're in. But tonight I want to look at this subject of Christ, God's compassionate servant. Now, we need to go, first of all, for a reading in Isaiah chapter 52. Just a brief quote. Isaiah 52. This is the book, Isaiah, that tells us about the Lord Jesus being his servant. Just the first bit of verse 13, behold my servant. That is God speaking, God Almighty speaking, behold my servant. He's got a servant. And now in chapter 53, which is such a well-known, blessed, important chapter, it reflects about what this servant was going through. And now we're in chapter 53, verse 4, just the first statement, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This is talking about the servant. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, a transliteration of that is our sorrows weighed him down. Our sorrows weighed him down. This is what the servant was going through. Now, if you come across, please, to Matthew chapter 8. We've come up several hundred years. Verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Here we see that the servant is identified as the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that he took all the weight of our sorrows upon him, in particular in that day in which he was living. He took upon him all the burdens and infirmities, sicknesses, upon himself to deal with. He came into this world unblemished. He went through this world unblemished. But he had tremendous compassion, sympathy, empathy to those that were suffering. Now, the prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament are many. He wasn't called Lord Jesus of course, he was referred to really as the Anointed or the Christ. And they go right from Genesis chapter 3 right through almost every book. And there's certain portions that identify who he is and what his work is and his credentials. And Isaiah is particularly important. It's a large book and it tells us much, much about the Lord Jesus. It tells us that he would have a miraculous birth. He was born of a virgin. Miraculous birth. It tells us that he was indeed God. He was divine. It makes no mistakes about that. It identifies Christ as being divine, as God. But then it identifies him as becoming a servant. A servant to come to this earth to carry out God the Father's will. And that included compassion for the sick, compassion for sinners that they might be saved, compassion for sinners that are saved. We'll deal with that a bit later. But now it also gives the credentials for the Messiah. He needed credentials to prove who he was when he arrived. And now, some of those credentials were that of miracles. The Christ that was prophesied and the people were looking for would be identified by the fact that he could carry out miracles. He carried out miracles. Now, what is a miracle? And I've written down the definition. A divine power for a divine purpose by means beyond the reach of man. So I guess if you go out and look at the stars, you can look up and you can say, well, man cannot put those stars where they are, those planets. They can try to get to them, they can try and use them for navigation purposes, etc. But they can't put them in their place. That was done by the miracle of creation. So that's just an illustration. So what we're saying is that the servant of God who became the Lord Jesus on identification would prove himself as being the Christ by carrying out miracles. Miracles. Another aspect he could use would be that of parables. He could use the parable of the Good Samaritan, for instance. You've got a perfect picture of compassion there. You've got the person who had no responsibility whatsoever to the poor man laying on the floor. He was a foreigner to him, and yet he took him, he bound up his wounds, and he paid for his convalescence. And that was a parable of compassion given by the Lord Jesus. But he brought out the main purpose was miracles. Now, I don't know how many miracles there are. Some people have added them up. There's many duplicated in the Gospels, but John puts at the end of his book that the Lord Jesus did many more than what's written down. In fact, you can't contain what's written down, it says. So we don't really know how many miracles are in. But I want to look tonight briefly just at five that bring out the compassion of the Lord Jesus. What he thought of fellow man, if I might put it that way, because he was man, very much man, though God. But he did not have sickness. He did not have the things that these people that we will see. But he cared for them and compassion. And there's five of them, and I picked them out because they are in relation to things that are perhaps dear to each of us. There's a master and a servant. There's a father and a son. There's a mother and a son. There's a son, there's a father and a daughter. And then a daughter, a mother and a daughter. It's getting a big thing. But what I'm saying is that they're involved, in other words. They're dealing with personalities, things that affect us. When we're bereaved, it affects us. And these are things. Now, I want to just quickly go through these briefly, and we're going into Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, where we've got two of the miracles that the Lord Jesus does. Verse 2 of chapter 7, Luke. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Here we've got the master and the servant, which is a strange one because the servant was a slave. The word should really be slave. He's at the bottom of the ladder, if you can get what I mean. And the centurion is up the top. You would hardly think that he would care for him, but he did. Verse 3, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching that he would come and heal his servant. He didn't go himself because he was a Gentile. And the Lord Jesus, being a Jew, and in those days it mattered very much the difference between the two. But he got the elders of a synagogue that he helped to build to go to the Lord Jesus to speak on his behalf. And verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built up a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter into my room. Here, the centurion realizes that the Lord Jesus is coming, and he says, send someone, say, now, don't come in, Lord, because I'm not worthy to receive you, which is extraordinary considering the centurion was over all the Jews. He was a prominent soldier, but he saw in the Lord Jesus something special. Something special. And he says in verse 8, "For I am also a man under authority, saying unto me, soldiers, that I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and cometh to my servant, do this and do that." So he's saying that I know what authority is. But when Jesus heard these things, he marveled, or he was astonished. He was astonished that this man had so much great faith that his servant could be healed by the Lord Jesus not coming. And so we find that the servant is healed by the Lord Jesus not going into the house. Now this is a rather extraordinary miracle in that it is done from afar. Normally a miracle we read is contact or presence of, but the Lord Jesus did it from a distance, But he did it because he had compassion for the man, the sick man, but he was also because of the faith of the centurion. So here we see compassion exemplified, showed forth. Now our second miracle follows immediately on, and this is a lovely one. Verse 11 of the same chapter, and it came to pass the same day that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people, big crowd. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Now here we've got another example. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Here we've got a widow following behind the bier of her only son. Sadness, sadness indeed. Those that know these things tell us that in Galilee that they followed behind the bier with the women at the start of the procession, whereas in Judea it was the other way round, the bier was at the end. But we see this sad, sad situation. This woman has lost her only means of income. No husband, no son now. And she was weeping because verse 13 says, the Lord saw her and had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not, weep not, weep not. You can imagine the tears that were falling down her face. And she would have been astonished at this man coming up, interrupting the funeral process and saying, weep not. But she was further astonished in the next verse when he came and touched the bier. That is the thing that carries the coffin. And they that bear him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Verse 15, and he that was dead, makes it quite clear that he was dead, sat up and began to speak. What a relief, comfort, the mother. And he delivered him to his mother. So here we've got another incident of the work of the compassionate servant of God. He was working for God in an act of compassion. Chapter 8, verse 41. And beheld, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler in the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Here is a ruler in the synagogue. Now, most of the synagogues wouldn't accept the Lord Jesus. In fact, they would chase him out. But here he has come and fallen at the Lord Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged about him. He'd got through the crowd to see the Lord Jesus, fallen at his feet, and told him what his problem was. He's got a young 12-year-old girl that was dying. And then we won't read it on, but then we read about a further incident that occurred because another problem had arisen, and his was looked as if it was put aside. But if we go down to verse 49, which brings it up. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter's dead. Trouble not the master. Don't worry. It's too late. She's dead. Think of the situation of the poor father. But verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now, he had believed up to a certain point while she was alive that the Lord Jesus could heal her. But now the Lord is saying to him, don't worry, believe a bit extra now, even though she's dead. She shall be made whole. Verse 51, and when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. She's not dead, but sleepeth. We could spend some time on here, but we haven't got it. But this is a real comfort to all believers, that when you die, God considers that you're only sleeping. You're only sleeping. In that, you're going to be brought back awake. It's only a time of sleeping for those that believe. It's a lovely doctrine, that, but we haven't got time to go in. 53, and they laughed at him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. So there's no arguments here. They consider that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, made her rise. And then verse 55, and her spirit came again. So she was dead and her spirit had gone, which is another doctrine that look into sometime, that the spirit leaves at death. She had lost the spirit. The spirit had gone. The body was just lying there. But But in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, she was asleep, and he brought her awake.
He awoke.
Made arise. A lovely, lovely miracle that. It's full of compassion, full of comfort. The next one is found in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, the Lord and his disciples had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is a beautiful story in its own. But when they came down the mountain, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. Here we've got another one. My son, for he is mine only child. My only child. Now, important that only children are very, very important in Scripture if we were to look into it. And verse 39, and lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he is foaming again and bruise him, hardly they departed from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. He said, well, he had a go at his disciples. They couldn't deal with the matter. They should have been able to, because they were given the authority to cast out demons before. But they couldn't do it for various reasons. Verse 42, and as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to the Father. Here we've got things that happened very much in the time of the Lord Jesus. There was a great prevalence of evilness and satanic power. It was there for the very reason, because God had sent his son into the world to deal with sin. And Satan did not have a son to send in, but he sent his angels in. And if you read during the New Testament times, evilness and demon possession were very, very prevalent, as indeed they were in previous history before that, at times. And so we read here of an incident where we've got a young lad, the only son, and through various reasons, we don't know whether he was dabbling in it or what he was doing, we're not told of the circumstances. But it is a wise thing to remember, never dabble with these things. Hold the Bible as firm foundation and deal nothing with evil, devil, demon possession. But the Lord Jesus dealt with it immediately. And he cast him out, because some commentators would have us that this was a fit of epilepsy or mental disturbance. But here it makes it quite, quite clear that he was demon possessed, because the Lord Jesus cast the demon out. Now, there is demon possession today, and by saying that it was prevalent then, I'm not saying it here. There are incidents of it. You can read about it. You can even go online and look at these things. But I would advise you not to become involved in such things.
So we've got four illustrations of the Lord Jesus' compassion as God's servant. Now I want one final one, and I like this one, and he's in Matthew this time, and you should like it too, for the reason I will say. Verse 21 of Matthew 15. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, what he was doing, he was leaving the border of Israel, and he was going outside his territory. He was going into what we call Gentile territory. And behold, verse 22, a woman of Cana, so she would be what we would call an Arab today, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." We've got another one here. Her daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Nice, aren't they? Nice disciples. Verse 24, but he answered and said, "I am not sent," and now he's talking, he's ignoring them, he's talking to the woman, but he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, his purpose of coming at that time was specifically to Israel, to deal with Israel. We'll come in a minute. Then came she and worshipped him. She would worship by falling down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs," dogs being Gentiles. And she said, "Truth, Lord." That's true. So she knew. "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now what we got here is someone who had no call at that time upon the mercies and compassion of the Christ. Because his purpose, as other scriptures tell us, that he came to the Jew first. He had to offer from scripture, I'm saying he had to offer salvation and compassion and help and everything that goes with God's mercies to the Jew first, because they are his people. But they rejected him. And here they were in the process of rejecting him, but that time had not quite come. But he sees in this woman someone that needs compassion. She needs pity. She needs sympathy. She needs help. Here's a woman that is determined. She's not going to be put off. She came at the wrong approach, you see. She came trying, first of all, to be included as a Jew, because she said, "Thou son of David." Now that is a Jewish expression reserved for Jews only. They could call him Son of David, but not a Gentile, not a Gentile. Son of David was a Jewish expression for the Messiah for themselves. And so you find here he ignores her, if I might put it that way. Well, they don't. But then when she carries on, he then tells her the reason that he can't. You can't give the children's bread to the dogs. First of all, I've got to give it to the Jews. But then she says, well, true, but let's have the crumbs. Let's have the crumbs. What a persistent, wonderful woman she is. And so the Lord Jesus once again cast out the devil. And so we could go on showing how God's servant took upon him the weight of all the sorrows that come with being born into this world. Now today we don't have the Lord Jesus amongst us, but he is still a compassionate person. Now you say, well, we don't have miracles. No, well, I don't know of any miracles. You sometimes read of people who claim them, but we're not in the age of miracles. We're in the age of faith. We believe. Now that doesn't mean that I can believe that if I'm struck down with an illness that I will be healed, my faith will. That doesn't mean it at all. These things are in God's hands. We're in a different situation, a different dispensation, if you like. But what we are in, we have got the compassion of Christ as God's servant in relation to our need for salvation. Because if we read Isaiah through, we find that the Christ, first of all to the Jew, but he was to be a light to the Gentile, for you and for me. And far greater than healing sickness or demon possession, it's that he can give us salvation. And if you read Isaiah 53, they have further through that than what I read, I just read that little bit, you will find out exactly how he did that through suffering for our sin. You'll find that we can claim the compassion of Christ today in an aspect of our salvation. He sees men and women, boys and girls, on a path going to hell. He has the compassion for each and every one by giving his life on a cross for everyone who would accept it. And we had five illustrations here of where not only did the Lord have compassion, but people had the faith to ask. And furthermore, I close now, another aspect of compassion is that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you have him as our great high priest who cares for us, understands our situation, and has compassion for us as per the book of Hebrews, if you read it. So our subject, Christ, God's compassionate servant. What a great God we have. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank thee now for the scriptures that we've read, for the thrill of the results of what happened, how mothers and fathers' children were raised up unto them, others were cared for, cleansed, and made fit. How we thank thee for the work of the Lord Jesus. Now as we close, we'd ask thee to bless us and be with us. We thank thee for the time that we've been allowed. Thank thee for the comfort of this all. Thank thee for each other. And we give thanks in the name of our Saviour. Amen.